just jogging. He wanted a car. I put him in a car.
That's
thank
right.
you. Have a good day.
Oh, yeah, Carol, you can start the.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm just sitting over here with your phone. It's not intended for
children. The oversensitive. I love you, Jordan. Gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
Dangerous.
Because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
Oh my god, huh?
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord.
That's you.
Jordan the Cat.
That's me.
The Giddy Geeker.
That's
you. Tiffany the Technician.
That's the other her.
Technician.
Hand signals not heard on radio.
More popular.
And now, damn right they shot first.
You know it.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geek.
Dun dun dun. It's an episode, we don't even know the number. It's that fucking 62. Awesome. 62 as well, yes.
Multiple awesomeness. Thanks,
Geeker. And just really quickly, we've got Jake Manning, podcaster, comedian, and wrestler. But before he can explain or react, dun-dun-dun, what's happening?
Jake, before we even let you take a breath, we're going to launch you right into the rapid-fire response round. I'm going to ask you a series of 10 questions. You're going to be able to answer with a short word or phrase. If you don't answer quickly, we will answer for you, oftentimes including stripper poles.
Okay.
All right. You're
ambushing a pro wrestler. Good strategy for a podcast.
Favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Oh, X-Men, the X-Men one.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Probably chicken and rice.
What job would you like to try?
What?
What job would you like to try? Stripper pole.
There you go.
What is your primary fandom?
What did you say, fandom?
Yeah.
Sorry.
What is your primary fandom?
Probably stand-up comedy right now.
Okay. Who is your favorite good guy?
Favorite good guy? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Favorite bad guy?
Magneto.
Right.
Didn't even fight.
Wow, that was really
important. When you need a good laugh, what do?
Look at my girlfriend.
Wow. She would not consider that a compliment.
Well,
just letting you know.
Well, mostly I'm looking at her and be like, what are you doing with me? And then
okay. Yeah, sure. Favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Donatello.
Okay.
That seems to be the...
Finish this sentence. Please don't cancel... ..
Walking Dead.
Oh. All right. What movie are you looking forward to seeing?
Captain America Civil War.
There you go.
Oh.
And your final question is, who would you want as your best friend? Samwise, Watson, Bones, or Chewbacca?
Chewbacca.
Absolutely. Congratulations. You're trapped on a desert island.
Okay.
With a tablet with a solar recharger, what would be your number one book?
I'm dyslexic, actually, so it's very hard for me to read. But if I was to have a book that I was actually going to read, I would say Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock.
Okay.
Just so I can reread it so I can understand it better.
Okay. What cool. Musical album?
I'm going to say probably Alkaline Trio, the Goddammit album, but Weezer... The Blue Album is a very close second.
Bye.
Awesome. What movie?
I'm going to have to say Godfather, first one.
And what game that you can play on a tablet?
Contra.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go with Contra.
Absolutely.
As long as I can do up, down, down, left, right.
You
left,
should
right.
Be,
a tablet,
if your
yeah,
tablet, you
got,
can do that.
Okay,
so
as long as I have that, then I'll play that game.
For your island, we'll give you that.
You have survived.
Okay.
Dun, although dun, the correct dun. Answer for book would be a book on how to get off the island. So.
Oh, okay.
Build a raft. Nobody ever heard
it. It could even be a pictorial.
So. But then I would have to go back to work. On that island, I would have to work. I just have to survive.
You thought this through. Yeah, he's got it.
All right. So, Jake, tell us about yourself. Who the heck are you?
Well, I'm Charlotte... ex-import, I guess. I've been living in Charlotte for like since 2005. I moved here for pro wrestling.
Please don't hurt us.
I'll make it look good. If anything, I'll make you look good. And I'll hurt myself. That's usually the way it works in pro wrestling for me.
But, is that why the chairs are thrown all over the place? Yeah, I was wondering.
Exactly. It's, you know, get the folding tables out. You know. But no, I grew up in a small town in Iowa, a town of 82 people to be exact. Mm. My father was the mayor because of 21 write-in votes. So it's a very unique town by that sense. A lot of interesting stories about the town bridge being eaten away by beavers and only two roads in the town. So I grew up in a just small Midwestern boy. I got an athletic scholarship to Western Illinois University at track and field to be a shot putter. Because my uncle was a former world record holder in the shot put. He actually invented a certain style of shot putting.
What's the style?
Basically, now a lot of people spin, but most people probably you see the glide where the guy's got the ball and he glides across the ring. My uncle's theory was that, you know, he could turn your foot to a 90-degree angle so you're better prepared to throw the metal ball, the shot, much further, because the standard theory was your foot was straight when it back and you would have to do a complete 180 once you landed. My uncle was gifted with an extraordinary amount of white muscle mass, which is quick, fast-acting muscle, and he was able to pull his leg underneath him, which built up torque in his torso, which ended up propelling the ball further than anybody else at the time. So he was so it's basically like, you know, like Dick Fonsberry was a guy, they invented the Fonsberry flop in the high jump.
Gotcha.
Basically, my uncle is the shot-putting equivalent of Dick Fonsberry.
So, oh, nice.
So my name had a considerable amount of pedigree.
And in the geek world?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was using science to explain it, so I thought I was getting some points there.
Yeah.
But,
you were, there's always going to be one troll that's just going to knock you down no matter what you do. Exactly. That would
get
be
it, geek girl.
I had that, and of course, you know, I grew up with the same last name, so I got an athletic scholarship, thought that was going to be my path, but no, it's going to... Not really. I grew up like the furthest. I mean, the weirdest thing from a jock. I think the only reason I was probably labeled as a jock is because I did it. You know what I'm saying? But I loved comic books. Like, I got into comic books hard when Superman died. Ever since the Superman death episode, the Superman 75, I collected Superman comics for 2 years straight. Every time my mom would go to Walmart, I had to make sure that I have to get the new issue of Superman. So I read all the way through Superman, through the long hair phase of Superman. I think I stopped right about the time that they finally did something with that long hair, because it was just getting out of control at some point in time. But then I got into X-Men and everything. I was really big into comic books and stuff like that. Cool. And stand-up comedy, but mostly pro wrestling. That's where it lied with me. So that way when my track career kind of ended and I kind of moved on from it, that's when I got into pro wrestling. So,
and where would somebody see you in pro wrestling now?
Anywhere that's got any town that's got a National Guard armory and it's got like 17 fans that are willing to pay to see a wrestling show. I'm usually doing up and down the East Coast. I think by next. One of my next bookings in the Northeast will probably be in front of close to 2,000 people in Newburgh, New York. I've got a show coming up in Seagrove, North Carolina, and then I've got some stuff around Charlotte. Nice. I'll probably have some stuff in Florida coming up, Tennessee, everywhere. I travel basically up and down the East Coast. I've been avoiding the Northeast very hard ever since the winter months have come up. I did a very good job of it this year. Last year I almost got snowed in twice up there. So I'm doing a very good job of completely avoiding it this year. So
good call.
Get the Florida gigs.
And where would we see you in stand-up comedy?
I'm very, very new in my journey. My journey just started.
So don't come see you?
maybe give it another month. If you stumble upon me, I might make you laugh every once in a while. But I'm around town mostly right now. I haven't got to the point that I'm out traveling and stuff like that. But I'm, you know, making friends with comedians or getting out and doing some of the smaller shows. But, I've got a YouTube page. If you look up Mancy Out Manning. Anything that's worthwhile comedy-wise.
You have to say it slow so our readers can hear it.
Okay.
Readers.
Yes.
For transcripts of Guardians of the Geekery.
If you search Man Scout Manning on YouTube, anything that I've done comedy-wise, that's worth watching or listening, I put up there.
Okay.
Because I record everything and I go through it and edit it over and over again. So anything comedy-wise that's good, if you want to see me comedy-wise, I would probably just go Man Scout Manning on YouTube.
Did you know there was a thing called editing? We never edit around here. Yeah.
No, not even when you.
But that's cool. Right. So Man Scout Manning. We'll have to look that up.
But is that what you wrestle under as well?
Yes, Man Scout Manning. Because I have Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Man Scout. And I wrestle in my Eagle Scout shirt and shorts and socks and come out with my Man Scout manual. So I'm primarily a comedy wrestler. Which is my little corner of wrestling right now. There's a lot of people that are trying to be, as I call them, fake MMA guys and kick you as hard as they can and chop you as hard as they can and drop you on your head. And then there's guys that are doing a million flips right now. And I'm definitely not either one of those guys. I'm a completely different experience, but I feel like I'm that piece of parsley on the plate that, you know.
It
makes it pretty and it well rounds everything. And the thing is, you see me. And then you see a guy that's going to beat somebody up really hard. I'm the nice transition in between those two.
So you like go out into a bout and then make a little fire and teach everyone.
I've actually made a fire in the ring before. Nice. I have my Man Scout mantle on. I consult it mid-match. Wow. I have my canteen that I've used quite handily against opponents. I got all the props. So I'm kind of the Carrot Top of wrestling. Which is probably why I'm not well liked on the internet.
Before you said that, I was envisioning you saying, like, you would just, like, stop a match and tell, like, really bad, your mama is so fat jokes or something. And then it gets mad and they start kidding you with a chair.
I don't stop, but I still get the yo mama jokes.
You still? So. All right!
I do that and then the stand up, but also to improv, that would be a decent place. I'm at the Charlotte Comedy Theater. I'm never going to get any as good as I am right now, probably. I'm a very low base of improv, but I've got I have some very good people propping me up there. So, and there's some very funny people there. So if you want to see any form of my comedy other than wrestling, the improv that I do at the Charlotte Comedy Theater would be where you go. So
very nice.
Awesome.
What made you decide to pursue it at this point? It's always been a dream of yours and decided to just take the leap?
Of pro wrestling?
Or no, the comedy.
Yeah. Like, I've come to the conclusion, like, a lot of pro wrestlers, they get in this bad habit of, like, after they get done wrestling, they drag their feet about quitting, which is where I'm at right now as well.
Yeah.
But also, too, they just quit cold turkey. They're just done wrestling, and then they be a used car salesman or work at Walmart or wherever they go.
I sold new cars too.
I didn't mean to offend anyone at this table.
It was a 6-month flirtation.
You know, it's like going from the circus to that. It's a rough transition. They just stop. Like what it is that they like, and they don't know why they did wrestling to begin with, and they usually don't adjust to it very well. I figured out probably in the last couple of years exactly why it is I like wrestling is because I liked the attention of it. I like performing.
Yeah.
And especially I like making people laugh like that. I grew up like an awkward kid because I'm a redhead. I had freckles. I had glasses. So the only thing I had to defend myself from being made fun of was either to drink a bunch of milk and get big and strong, but sometimes that process takes a while. But in the meantime, I got to get very good at disarming comments by jokes, and that's what I did. And I always felt like if I made people laugh, I know for sure you like me.
Yeah.
And that's the weirdest thing because like it's such a visceral thing. Like even if you don't like somebody, if they say something that's funny, then automatically they don't dislike you in that moment. I think that's what I love the most is like about laughter. It's like, oh, you don't dislike me. And sometimes as people, you just need to be like, oh, you don't dislike me. Yeah. You don't disdain me.
Need the validation. And that's
what I deduced about pro wrestling and deduced about that is that I miss that and I would always need that. And as opposed to me transitioning away from any type of performance whatsoever, I need to dive head first and to get all of that. And that's kind of what I'm doing.
It's very astute for you to sort of take those preemptive steps. That's
That's awesome.
Well, I've seen a lot of train wrecks over the years, so I've spent many a times with Ric Flair. So, yes.
Don't be the cautionary tale, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, tell us about the video podcasting, because Giddy Geeker and I were on an episode.
Yes,
yes, we were.
It was a delightful episode where we just kick back and just talk about whatever. It was so good. I started a podcast, Stranger in a Southern Land, a big influence also too in me getting involved in the comedy and everything else is Chris Hardwick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I could be just like Chris Hardwick and be able to host shows, have a podcast that people listen to, and then still perform comedy and like be doing it with like people I like that seems like the dream job. Like that seems like what I would like to do. And so, you know, it was the episode he did with Kevin Smith that was really like, you know, because Kevin Smith like was like, you just, if you want to do a thing. It's available to you. Everything's available to you. And I was like, man, I really like this podcast thing. I need to get in on it. But I wanted to take a step further and do like the video podcasting. So I kind of looked at what Joe Rogan was doing, where he does a video podcast and stuff like that. So I was like, that's what I want to do. Is I want to be more ahead of the curve. By the time I'm getting into podcast, everybody's got a podcast. Yeah. But I feel like if I take the extra step and make it video, maybe that makes me better than most people, or takes me the next step. So nothing against this podcast.
Easy, ladies.
From a technical
standpoint. We're outnumbered here. Even though you're wrestling, we're outnumbered.
Maybe from a technical aspect.
You might want to get out your manual now.
Throw me that canteen. I'll beat them off.
I've been assaulted. Used car salesman.
I'm not a used car salesman. I flirted with new and used.
Used car salesman? Yes, he did. And then he met me. Yeah.
I was drunk those 6 months. Anyway.
But no, but more importantly, I'm a video guy. You recording now with your setup, I am glad you feel comfortable with it being recorded and existed. Yeah. If I don't see it in a viewfinder and a red light being on, I don't think it exists.
Right? You're an exhibitionist. So
yeah.
Meanwhile, we hide behind a microphone.
This is correct. You've already made hand signals.
In the beginning, there were some episodes where it did not get recorded, so that's not a fear that's unbased.
Also, too, my intro, I'm looking dead into a camera, giving sponsor information, introducing the guest, giving my dates, and I got to do it with personality. And if somebody ever wants to make me a host of anything, they're gonna look at that. And also, too,
very smart.
If I want to get to that level. Mm-hmm. I need to get the experience. Now, Chris Hardwick, I think he was a K-Rock for a while, and he did like a late night shift, and then of course he was on like
Singled Out,
and those were like early things that he did that prepared him to be as good as he is right now. Yeah. How do I expect to be just as good as him if I don't get the experience?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not going to get the opportunities probably being Singled Out, and getting into radio seems a little pointless and difficult these days.
Yeah. As two people who used to be in radio, we agree.
Yeah. So, okay, now I'm on your side.
Absolutely.
But
you were never off it. We just had to give you.
Of course you did. But also, too, like, it's like, but I can do this podcast and this can prepare me for that. Like, Mark Maron got to be good at interviewing people because he was on Air America. Everybody has this origin story that got them good, and I'm just trying to. Stranger in a Southern Land is probably a small part of the origin story, but it's something that's very personal to me now, especially now that I figure out what the show's about, which is talking about people, about success. That's what I ask everybody at the end. Like, how do you define the success? And like, what's it mean to you? What's important to you? Like, I never would have met you guys. And your guys' story and everything, how you guys got together, that's sweet, that's wonderful. Aww. There's hope, it brings hope that there's love in this world and people are good. I don't think I would have that belief if I didn't start this. I just talked to a musician today who's starting a label because he didn't like the way he was treated at his last label. And he's got this lady that plays harp, and she's one of the best harp players in the world. Like, she was went on tour with Sonic Youth when they needed a harp player.
Wow.
Like, he's... And she's signed to that label, and he's getting these creative individuals, and he's been working on this album for 2 years, and he's getting ready to release it and just explode out into this world. And I never would have met this guy, a creative individual, who was a very cool person. And we just sat down and had a talk for an hour, and I feel like I'm a better person meeting him, and I think he might feel the same. And whether we see each other ever again, but like I benefited from what he said, and all the comedians that I've met, like the Four Shaws and Tom Simmons that I've had on the podcast, I feel like I've become a better comedian and a better content generator and comedian because of meeting them. And that's what it's about, you know, and that's what I love about it the most, you know. But
well, there you go.
I know I put a lot of hopes and ideals in it.
On YouTube, we look for you as Man Scout Manning.
Man Scout Manning.
And for Southern Stranger in a Southern Land.
Yes, and that the website address is sslshow.com. And also, too, on the YouTube page, I just now did this, and this is an exclusive. I haven't broke this off my podcast. I'm now going to be putting up all the past episodes on my YouTube page. So if you want to watch, as opposed to just doing it on Vimeo, I'm now putting them on my YouTube page. So awesome. If you want to watch Stranger in a Southern Land, you can just go to my YouTube page. So everything, if you just Google or search Man Scout Manning on YouTube, you will find just about everything all about me. So it's there.
Awesome. Very cool.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, Jake, thank you so much for being here. We're going to start the news section in a little bit. Do you want to hang around?
I would love to.
It's an overnight stay, but there's clean sponges. Just ask Field.
Hi, Field. Hi, Field.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofka. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.